So Srila Prabhupada sang and recorded this song at least four different times that I have recordings of. And it also happens to be one of my favorite songs by one of our Vaishnava acharyas. And each verse, there's so much potential for explaining the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the perfection of religion. This word religion, you will find various definitions. And there are various religious clubs, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Jew, Buddhist. There are so many different clubs. But Krishna consciousness is the essence. Later this month, I will speak at a particular school that invites me every year. It's a Catholic school. And so I explain to the students that actually religion is one. There's only one religion. That religion is known as love of God. Before you can have love of God, there has to be obedience. That's the preliminary. And after obedience, later down the road, one develops love. Krishna consciousness means to be always absorbed in thought of God, the Supreme, the original person, the source of all that be. He himself has no other origin. That is the real understanding of God, or shall we say, absolute truth. We are also truth, but we are relative truth. Our existence is not independent. We exist, we are truth, but not absolute. God's existence, that's absolute. Our existence is dependent upon His existence. The best example, the sun and the sun ray. Now the sun and the sun ray exist simultaneously. Just like if we strike a match. As soon as that flame is lit, two energies appear. Heat and light. You cannot separate the heat and the light from the flame. On Tuesday and tomorrow, we will hear about Srimati Radharani. Just in the same way, you cannot separate Radha from Krishna and Krishna from Radha. There is no meaning. They are inseparable. Just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or the energies of heat and light from the fire, the sun ray and the sun. They exist simultaneously. But still, the sun ray cannot exist independent of the sun. Krishna is the sun. We are the sun rays. So our existence is dependent on Krishna's existence. And this example of the sun ray is exactly used by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked by Sanatan Goswami, Kayami, my Lord, tell me who am I? Sanatan Goswami was quite an educated man. He could speak several languages, I believe even Persian, and he was Hindu. So he was well qualified. Otherwise, how he could be one of Lord Chaitanya's foremost disciples? He was very learned. He was practically speaking running the government in a certain section of India, which was then ruled by the Muslims. And he was running the whole show. And even when he tried to retire, the Muslim king had him arrested. What, you think you're going to retire? I need you. How can I go out and plunder? I need somebody back home managing the affairs. Our government should take a lesson from that. Nobody's minding the store. They're always on vacation or they're doing nonsense. Nothing getting done. So, when Sanatan Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya, people call me Pandit, learned man. I'm so learned, I don't even know who I am. You tell me. That's another point. Before the Guru, one should be very, very meek, humble, and fool. Present oneself as a fool. Don't go in front of the spiritual master. I am so qualified, Gurudev. Look at my degrees. Gurudev, you should be very happy to have me as your disciple. No, Baba. Lord Chaitanya also, by his example, he's God himself. His guru said, you're a fool. Shocking. Lord Chaitanya did not get indignant. Hey, don't you know who you're talking to, buddy? I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. Lord Chaitanya accepted, yes, I'm a fool. Teaching us, before the spiritual master, one should always remain a fool. I know nothing. Gurudev, you instruct me. Here is our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And believe it or not, this murti of Prabhupada is in so many ISKCON temples. It's happened here, but recently, last week I was in Santiago and I was doing a class and some newcomer said, how come that guy doesn't move? Prabhupada is so lifelike. And Prabhupada looks as if he's actually there. He was, hey, is he in samadhi or what? Then it was explained, no, that is a murti. But he actually thought Prabhupada was alive. Amazing. And that has happened here too. So many times. So Sanatan wanted Lord Chaitanya, his guru, to explain to him who he was. So Lord Chaitanya said, ah, Jivera Sarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. You, all of us, are simply the eternal servant of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Eternal, that's an important word. Eternal means always in the past. Not that, yeah, on December 15th I became, no. Just like I explained, the existence of the sun and the sun ray, they exist simultaneously. According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's own words, never was there a time when I, Krishna, did not exist, nor you, Arjuna, nor all these kings. Neither in the future shall any of us cease to be. There's your eternality. You always existed, so you better get used to yourself, because you're not going away. You've always been an individual. Now, you've not been that body. And for most of us, thank God. Because when I look in the mirror, I go. But we have always existed as an individual person. That's a big point of Prabhupada's philosophy. You're eternally a person, not a place, not a thing, not a Facebook page. You are eternally a person, individual. And God is also eternally an individual person. Just as you have senses and feelings and emotions and likes and dislikes, so does Krishna, because he's a person. And in the future, we will remain individual persons. So Lord Chaitanya then said, you're the eternal servant of Krishna, because he uses the word Nitya Krishna Das, servant of Krishna, servant of God. And he said, just like, and he gave that word Kirana. Those who know Hindi, this word Kirana, means sun ray. Right? Confirmed. Thank you. Yes. So this knowledge is actually very liberating. When it finally sinks in, oh, you mean I've always existed? Ah. And I'm the eternal servant of God? Jaiho, yes, I like that. And we're all the same. We're all servants. No need for anybody to get haughty. No. In the eyes of God, we're all His servants. Group hug. We're all one big family. Here in this movement, we are Prabhupada and Krishna's family. Yes. So this nice song, Bhaja Hure Mana Shri Nanda Nandana. The author of this song, his name is Govinda Das. When you get your initiation, when you get your second birth, for instance, your first birth is from your mother and father, your natural first birth. And we've heard so many times from our Christian brethren, have you been born again? Oh, most definitely. Most definitely I've been born again. My spiritual father and the Vedic literatures are my mother. I am born again of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Yes. Bhaja Hure Manad, the author of this song, Govinda Das. Govinda is another name. Actually, it's the original name of God. Everybody say that original name? Govinda. Govinda means He gives pleasure to your transcendental or purified senses. Govinda means He gives first preference to the cow, not the dogs, sorry. First preference is for the cows. So don't do anything to the cows. Because you're going to make somebody very angry. So He gives pleasure to the cows and also to the land of Vrindavan, Krishna's home. Govinda. One more time, everybody. Govinda. Okay, now let's see how sharp you are. Every time I point to you, you sing that word. Govinda. You gotta sing it. If I don't point, then don't say it. Govinda. Very good. This is an advanced class. I do this in other places, they mess it up. Because I have one song where that comes in the song and I tell them, don't sing unless I point. So I'm playing guitar and I'm pointing. And then there's a point in the song where they think they should sing Govinda. They go, no, I didn't point. Don't sing it. Govinda. Only half the... Come on, men, let's go. Govinda. Very good. Now it's time for a commercial break. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the taste of water. Satisfaction guaranteed. So, Govinda Das, the servant of Govinda, he says, he's talking to his mind. Because regardless of the yoga that you do, there are so many different yogas. And now, modern times now, we have yoga on every corner like 7-Eleven and Starbucks. My wife was saying that's how we should have Hare Krishna temples. There should be more and more. There should be 5 million temples in Los Angeles area. We've got a lot of work to do. Make your home a temple. Invite your neighbors to your home and tell them about... Very good. You're catching on. I like that. All right. So in any yoga that you do, Raja Yoga, Kriya Yoga, Jnana Yoga, what are some more yogas? Hatha Yoga, what's that? Dhyana, right? What to speak of Bhakti Yoga? They all have one thing in common, controlling the mind. No mind control, no yoga. If you're doing a so-called yoga and there's no mind control, it's not yoga. It's boga. And I was saying this last week in Santiago. Either you're going to control your mind or somebody else or something else is going to control it. And you don't want somebody or something controlling your mind. Because that's hell. Like a drug addict. The drug addict is controlled by the drug. A sex addict is controlled by sex. But a yogi controls his own mind. He's self-controlled. This is repeated throughout Bhagavad Gita. Control your mind. So the author is talking to his mind. Because we also learn from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, of the senses, I am the mind. What does that mean? It means it's very powerful. Is Krishna the most powerful? Anybody more powerful than Krishna? Better not say anything else but no. Yes, Krishna proved it. 5,000 years ago when he came, whoever challenged Krishna, what did Krishna do? The score was Krishna 108, the opposite party, shut out. Nothing. Undefeated. Krishna was undefeated. This record is there. I've read the Krishna book so many times. Only one time he was defeated. Do you know that? Who was he defeated by? Yes, and the gopis. They defeated him. Krishna admitted defeat. The night of the rasa dance, Krishna had to confess, I can't repay you for your love. Because we learn from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reciprocate, I reward. But when he told the gopis the night of the rasa dance, I can't repay you for your love. You'll have to be satisfied just with your exalted service. So that verse in Bhagavad Gita is not in the gopis' Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna himself proved, he said it himself, I can't repay you for your spotless service. You'll have to be, just like, right? What if your boss says, you know what? You do such nice work, I can't pay you. Are you going to stick with that job? No, you're going to say, really? Bye-bye. But the gopis, they will, yes, Krishna, you can't repay us, that's all right. Still, we love you. Yes, and Krishna said, that was the only reason why I returned. Because Krishna demonstrated the night of the rasa dance his renunciation. Dancing with the most beautiful women in the whole creation, and in the midst, disappeared. He even disappeared from Radharani. That's a conundrum wrapped inside an enigma. Maybe they will explain it on Tuesday. But he showed his complete renunciation, detachment. But then he came back, and he said, the only reason I have come back is because I see that your love for me is so great. And that's why I said at the very beginning, there's only one religion, love of God. That's religion. Do you know who God is? And do you love him? That's it. Doesn't matter your club, this could, we don't care. The only thing we're concerned about, do you know who is God? And do you love him? Archita and I, we go to high schools and colleges throughout the year, and it's so funny. Archita, one of the first things he'll ask the students, so what is the definition of religion? And they'll give all these answers, and Archita will say, nobody mentioned the G word. God. Isn't it a fact? So many times we've had that problem. They're trying to define religion, but there's no mention of God. Hello! This modern education system, not very good. They don't even, it's like, anyway, we won't go there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. No, but you got to sing it. Okay, here's the, my wife just sang it. Govinda. Thank you. All right, so he's talking to his mind, because mind is very, very stubborn. Even Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, after hearing the yoga system from Krishna, Krishna gives a summary of the real yoga system and all these new yoga studios. They should listen to what Krishna says is actual yoga. After Arjuna hears Krishna's yoga system, Arjuna says, I can't do it. Krishna, my mind is obstinate. It's turbulent. Very powerful. You're like asking me to try to control a hurricane. How can I control my mind? It's like the raging wind. Krishna did not let him off the hook. Krishna said, yes, I agree, but it is possible to control the mind. How? Constantly practicing and detachment. So in this song, Govinda Das is addressing his mind. My dear mind, stop fighting me. Cooperate. And he gives a very easy way to control the mind. It is the same method that is prescribed by Lord Chaitanya, emphasized by Srila Prabhupada. My favorite. Say hello to my little friend. This is how you control the mind. You get up early in the morning, you take out your japa, and you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And you do that 108 times. And then you do that 16 times. If you do that every day, you'll become spiritually buff. Yes, you have to build your stamina. That first mantra is the hardest. Hare Krishna. You like that one, right? Yes. But you get that first mantra down, and then you do your first round. Now you go to round two. By round eight, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. By 16, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. You're fired up. You're ready to take on the world, because these names, they have potency. This is not a joke. Any of those of us who have been chanting regularly, you know what happens when you don't chant and what happens when you do. I know for myself, if I'm not chanting, don't come near me. I'm a raging wild animal. But if I do nice chanting, I'm nice little teddy bear. Hari Bol. No problems. So, this chanting, so nice. And it can be done anytime, any place, anywhere. Morning is the best time, Prabhupada says. Morning. So get up early. Get up early. Just like my wife, every day when she goes to work, sometimes I will call her. You say, don't bother me now, I'm doing japa. Oh, yes. Okay. Because she knows I want to get my japa in right away because she has to deal with all those lawyers and secretaries and it's a mean, ugly world out there. Carnivorous animals everywhere in the corporate world. So you have to be strong, powerful. Stay back. Hare Krishna. So he's telling his mind, let us be fixed at the lotus feet of Sri Nanda Nandana. Can you all say? That can only mean one person, the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, whose name was? Or the other name was? Govinda. Come on.
Govinda.
Thank you very much. All right. Now the author is saying, my dear mind, if you cooperate with me, we're going to get a dividend. Just like I'm sure many of you have your stock portfolio, you have your 401ks, you've got your Indian foreign investments. I know. Right? And you're checking every month for your dividends, right? So there's a dividend for fixing the mind on Krishna. There's a dividend for chanting Hare Krishna. It's the next word. Abhay. Everybody say. Fearless. When your mind is fixed at the lotus feet of Sri Nanda Nandana or Krishna or... Thank you very much. You become fearless. A week from yesterday, I was in Santiago, Chile, and I'm leading a kirtan, all of a sudden, terremoto. And so, I passed the test that the seat is moving, and I'm still, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I passed the test. I was so proud of myself. I didn't freak out. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! No. We kept chanting, Jai. And right afterwards, I prayed to Krishna, no more tests, please, not for now. And also, not here. Let it come 500 years from now. Gotta make sure you're still on your toes here. This is called crowd control. Keep their attention. Otherwise, you know, sometimes the guy is speaking, everybody's like, so you gotta keep their attention. Very good. So if we fix our mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, we become fearless. Fearless is not something you can buy on Amazon.com. Fearlessness is a gift from God. And you get that gift when you fix your heart and mind on the sound of Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, or service. Then it says, Dulabha Manava Janama Satsange. Very nice line. Dulabha Manava Janma. Govinda Das is saying, you have now achieved something very rare. It's called human birth. Human birth is not guaranteed to all living entities. Why? There are 8 million species of life lower than human. So look at the odds. 400,000 human over 8 million, that's a very small percentage. So human birth is rarely gotten. And didn't we all agree that we've always existed? Yes. So we've been around a long, long time. And I was mentioning this in Santiago because sometimes the question occurs, if reincarnation is true, how come I don't remember? My answer was, thank God you don't remember. What if you were Hitler in your previous life? You want to remember that? What if you were raped in your previous life or murdered? Do you want to remember that for this life? It's God's mercy that you don't remember. Everybody thinks, oh, in my past life I was so wonderful and great. And I don't think so. There's a lot of stuff that we did in the past lives. And it's God's mercy that He doesn't allow you to remember. Otherwise, look, you maybe have had tragic incidents in this life, and you know how hard it is to overcome. You have to go see psychiatrists and this and that to deal with events in this life. What if you had to remember all the past heavy deeds you did in the... You'd go nuts! So it's God's mercy. You start each life with a clean slate. Okay. You did all this stuff, that's all right. Start clean, start fresh. That's God's mercy. Dulabha Manava Janma. So human birth, rarely gotten. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in another book, Sri Ishupanishad, human life means heavy responsibilities. Just like when you get your driver's license, it's a responsibility. There's a lot of things that can happen when you're driving that automobile. You have to be so responsible. Many times I think when I'm pulling out of my driveway, in a second, everything could change. Some kid could come out, run over the kid, right? Or if I'm coming around the corner, then I might hit the garbage. Anything in it's the biggest risk. Driving a car is so risky. At any moment, everything could be changed. Yes, it's not conscious. So human form of life means heavy responsibilities, meaning you're going to be held accountable for everything you do in the human form of life. You're going to have to, like the bank statement, debits and credits. At the end of the life, Yamaraj comes. Here is your balance sheet. Debits, credits. So you want to have a nice balance sheet. Therefore you sing. Yes, that means you will have a nice bank account. Yamaraj will see, you are devotee of ISKCON. You followed Srila Prabhupada. And you said that word? Okay, I have nothing to do with you. Go ahead. Jai. Durlabhamanava. Now, it says, Satsanga. The priority of your human life is what you're doing right now. This is your priority. Association with devotees. Yes, you have jobs. You have families. You have, like I told Rupal, you have a life now. Right? You have a life. But keep in mind, there should be your top priority. Your top priority should be the association of devotees. Look around. These are devotees. They're just like you. Otherwise, they wouldn't come here. They have come to this temple for the same reason you have. To come and see. Yes. They want to develop their love of God just like you. They may look different from you. They may smell different from you. But they still have the same objective. They're trying to learn how to love God. And another fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness, God is in your heart. I love this concept of Bhagavad Gita. God is in my heart. He's in everyone's heart. We learn from the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that the soul, the real you, is situated in the heart. You know what's going on in your body. I have no idea what you're thinking as you're looking at me. I have no idea. And you don't know what I'm thinking. Because my consciousness is limited to my body, your consciousness is limited to your body. But Krishna says, but I know what's going on in everybody's body. That's why he's God and we're not. If somebody says, I'm God, very simple. Okay, tell me what that guy's thinking right now. Nah, don't try to bluff me, Babaji. You're not God. Servant of God, yes, but you're not God. Krishna says, I know what's going on in everybody's body. That's why he's God. I love this concept that God is in everyone. And it's the same Krishna, the same God in your heart, in your heart, in your heart. And it's proven to me time and time again, sometimes it's scary, how and I'm not bragging, I'm just being honest. Sometimes it's scary. I'm in touch with Super Soul. I knew today, my wife was driving, and as we were driving, we were chanting, and I was thinking, I'm going to see somebody that I haven't seen for several months, and sure enough, here he is. The person I was thinking of that I hadn't seen. Now, did I contact you? Did I contact you? No, I didn't contact him. But as soon as he walked into the temple, I went over to him. I said, Krishna's God. And then I told him the same thing, that I knew I was going to see him today in the temple. Isn't Krishna great? Krishna is the greatest. What's his name? Yes. Now the last line of this first verse, Taraha e bhava sindure, is exactly taken. This is the Bengali language. But it is exactly taken from a line in the Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, there is a line, Mayam etam turanti te. Krishna says in chapter 7 that this material world, the material energy, insurmountable. It's a fortress. The material world is all-powerful, extremely difficult to overcome. Krishna says there's only one way to escape, to get out, to overcome this insurmountable fortress known as the material world, to get liberated. You have to surrender to Krishna. No alternative to surrender. If you want to get release from the prison of material existence, then the only way to do it is to surrender to Krishna. So that line, Mayam etam taranti te. If you surrender to Krishna, you can easily cross over. Same thing here. In the author, he compares material existence to an ocean. All right. On the day of Ratha Yatra, we're at Venice Beach, right? And what is that ocean there? Are you going to swim to Hawaii? How far do you think you'll go? You won't make it. So we'll just make an analogy. Hawaii is the spiritual world. Venice Beach is the material world. Anybody going to be able to swim from Venice Beach to Hawaii? No. Insurmountable. But Krishna says, and this verse of the song, if you surrender to Krishna, if you associate with devotees, if you fix your mind on Krishna, you can easily cross over. Easily. Therefore, the gist of this movement, we are known as the Hare Krishna movement. The movement that is centered around chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Everybody. So keep in mind, the foremost activity that you should be doing every day, your topmost priority, is to chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody sing! Now, there is a secret way to make the chanting easier. I don't know about you, but if I'm given some task, I always look for the easiest shortcut way. That's the way I am. I always look, how can I get it done quickly, easily? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also teaches us what is the easiest mentality so that we can really get absorbed in this chanting. He gives us a checklist of four things. First one, if you're finding it difficult to chant, then the first problem is there must be some pride. Because if I'm humble, if I'm meek and humble, then I should find chanting easy. But I'm finding it difficult because I am thinking I am so wonderful. I am thinking I don't need anything. I don't need to pray. I am already great. Then you are going to find chanting very difficult. But if you think that I am simply the insignificant servant of Krishna, and in terms of size, I am only 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. That's the dimension of the soul. 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. Is that any big? Anything to be puffed up about? No. That's all I am. Then the next thing. So I have to keep myself meek and humble. And the next one, tolerant. Tolerant. And Lord Chaitanya gives us the tree meditation. Just like today, where can the trees go for shade? Do the trees give you shade? But where do the trees go for shade? They have to tolerate scorching heat. And now we've had so many years of drought. Better start praying for some rain. Because it's getting serious. Yes. You better start praying for rain. It's getting serious. We still have some water left in the cup. But there's no guarantee. The tap may be... We need rain. Mucho rain. So tolerate, tolerate, tolerate. People come to the trees, take its leaves, its fruits, its flowers. Does the tree ever say, hey, what about me? You're taking, if I come to your house and I start taking everything, how do you think you're going to fit? What's Narantara doing? I invite him to his house, now he's cleaning me out? But that's what we do to the trees. We take the fruits, the flowers, the leaves. And not only that, then these people come. Bobby loves Susie. We put the, what is that? The tattoo on the tree. Right? If I come along and start carving my, hey, what are you doing, man? The tree doesn't protest. When the tree is drying up and asking for, doesn't ask for water, it simply tolerates. So Lord Chaitanya is saying you must learn how to tolerate, and then you will be able to chant. And then the hardest one, they go together. Not expecting others to worship you and me. Why aren't they telling me how wonderful they are? Why aren't they appreciating me? I'm so wonderful. Why doesn't anybody notice me? Why don't I get this and that? Yes, Lord Chaitanya says, don't worry about that. But give all respects to others. Not wanting respect for themselves, but all respects to others. Why? Because Krishna is in everyone's heart. I'm not, no offense. I'm no offense. I'm following the advice of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, I am not paying obeisances to the person who identifies with that body. I'm paying obeisance to Krishna inside that person's body. Big difference. So we can offer respect even to the ant. Why? Is God in the heart of the ant? Yes. Therefore, we offer respects to all living entities. And I'm not concerned about getting respect for others. It's not my concern. So these are the four checklists. Remain meek and humble. Tolerate all the inconveniences. Don't worry about respect and this and that from others, but praise others, glorify others, encourage, enthuse, and enliven others to worship Krishna. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya says, you will easily, always be able to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So may you have a great week. May you chant nicely, effortlessly. May Krishna bless you, protect you, and maintain you. One last time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.